morning. Merry Christmas. It's so good to see you here this morning. In a few moments, we're going to have those kids come in. I'm going to give you just a little talk here this morning. But just Merry Christmas to you. So glad you're here. Thanks for coming to be a part of what's happening in this season. What comes to mind when you think about Christmas? Lots of things can come to our mind. One thing is parties, like getting together, having a good time. You know, kids coming home from college maybe. What you gonna eat? What you gonna drink? You know, all kinds of good things to do at Christmas time. So sometimes people think of fun. They think of the fun times. Not everybody does, though. Some people, it's a little harder, and they think of the problems. You ask them, what do you think about Christmas? They think about the problems. They think of the family issues and dynamics, you know, like Cousin Eddie, you know, like who's in your family that kind of messes everything up, you know, stuff like that. Or maybe you got money problems, and you're thinking, you know, it's going to be a pretty hard Christmas this year. We don't got the money flow that we would like. For others, it's loneliness. I mean, you're struggling with just maybe it's estrangement from family or something like that. And I just want to say this as an aside. I am so glad that you are here. And I, if that's you, if you're watching in or if you're here, I just want to say, you know, let your church be your family. Really join in and really be a part of what's happening here. When you think about Christmas, we can think about a lot of things, but the thing I want you to think about today is I want you to think about the promise of Christmas. The promise of Christmas. And the promise of Christmas, it's like a fire in a fireplace. Anybody like a fire in the fireplace? Oh, doesn't that feel good? The warmth of the fire. As a matter of fact, somebody was telling me this week, there's nothing like wood heat. You know, it just feels so good. And so the promise of Christmas is like the warmth of a fire. Not only that, it's like the illumination that comes from that fire. You know, it lights up the room so you can see not only the room, but you can see the people that you're around and the intimacy that brings. Christmas is about the life that brings light. That's the promise of Christmas. It's about a life that came into this world to bring you and I light. The main passage for my little talk is from John chapter 1. It's on page 1357 in the Journey Bible if you'd like to follow along. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and then verse 14. Please stand up with me as I read God's Word. But I just want to say this kind of almost as a disclaimer. There's a warning here. This is not your typical Christmas passage. This is not about the nativity. It's about the story before the story. It's kind of, we're going to go big picture. We're going to go cosmic here a little bit. Here it's from the 30,000 foot point. But it really helps you understand how to find Jesus. That's what the kids program is about, is finding Jesus. It really helps us to understand all that. So let's look at this passage here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and then verse 14 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is God's Word. You can be seated. So, the key word is the Word. It's right there. I mentioned it. It's mentioned several times in that brief passage. If we go back to the original language, which is the Greek language, it's the word logos. Say it with me. Logos. Okay? And it's a real technical word from classical Greek period, about 500 years before Christ, when the philosophers like Socrates and Plato and all of them were hanging around. It's a very technical word from that era, and it is translated, or it means the reason, or the divine wisdom. And the interesting thing about the Greek concept was that the logos was very rational, and also very impersonal, very, very kind of cold. And so John, Gospel of John, right? You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All are biographies of the life of Jesus Christ. We call them the Gospels. John, he takes this concept. He's the only one. He takes this idea of logos, this idea of the Word, and he applies it to Jesus Christ. He applies it to Jesus Christ. And what he was doing in doing that is he was emphasizing that Jesus Christ is God. The Word is God, or the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And he talks about the creation, that Jesus is the Creator. Nothing was made that has been made without him. And then he also talks about this idea of his embodiment. Jesus Christ, the Lord's embodiment in flesh, in human flesh. That's what verse 14 really clearly lays out for us, that Jesus Christ took on flesh. It says he made his dwelling among us. One translation says he pitched his tent in our campground. Okay? He moved in. That's what Scripture says. And that's what our current series that we're in, our talk series, is all about, is that the fact that Christ came embodied to embrace you and I. He came to accept us and to hold us near and dear to Him. So here's our main point for this little talk that I'm giving. The main point is the light of Jesus is essential for life. I want you to think about that. The light of Jesus is essential for our lives. Essential, what does that mean? Well, it means something is absolutely necessary. In other words, it's very, very, very important. I think the best example of this, there's probably nothing better, nothing more essential to you and I in the physical world than the sun. The sun that's in our universe. Okay, just think about it. If our sun went out, just poof, it went off, it'd be a major problem. Or if it disappeared, you know, like it went into a black hole. I know that's morbid. I'm not saying we should write a storyline about that or anything like that. And by the way, when I think about the sun disappearing, the thought that comes to my mind is kind of like, you know, the eighth grade biology student comes out in me. It's like, well, if that happened, there wouldn't be any photosynthesis going on. That's what I would think about. I'd think about the fact that we wouldn't be producing any food, and there wouldn't be any oxygen being produced. But that would really be the least of our worries. Did you know this, that the sun is 93 million miles away, and it takes 8 minutes and roughly 20 seconds for the rays of the sun to go 93 million miles and get here? It takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds for that to happen, for it to reach Earth. And if that sun went out, we would be plunged into complete darkness. It would be a kind of darkness that you could never imagine. It would be so dark. It is the source of all light. And not only that, even though the sun is 93 million miles away, it's our prime source for heat. And without that source of heat, the earth would plummet into coldness. The temperatures would just drop. In a matter of days, actually, we would be at absolute zero. which is Kelvin zero, by the way. I looked this up. And Fahrenheit, that's 460 degrees below zero. Absolute zero. Everything would freeze. You see, the sun is essential for our lives. It warms us. It gives us light so that we can see. And my argument today is that Jesus Christ is essential for your life, for your spiritual life, for your understanding what this world is all about. So let me give you two reasons why. I want to support that argument with two quick reasons. The first one is this: the light of Jesus warms us because God cares. Did you know that? That God cares about you? God cares about you. That's warmth. That's relational warmth for us. Now, we can say that he came for humanity, like the verse says, that Jesus made his dwelling among us and all that kind of thing. But let me break it down. He came for you. He came for you. He came for you. He came into this world. The creator of the world, who made all things, came here, pitched his tent next to your tent. He came near to you. And maybe that doesn't do it for you today. Maybe you don't feel that warmth. You don't feel that warmth from God. And you're here, you're watching in today. You just don't feel it. So let me just tell you a little story. Let's say this. Let's say that you own a tire store. It'd be the great time of year to own a tire store, wouldn't it? With all the snow tires that are going off the shelf. So you own a tire store, and you are wildly successful. Here's your tire store right here. That's just a part of it. That's just one rack, okay? And, you know, you have a brand that people absolutely love. So you have lots of repeat customers and new customers just coming in all the time. And you've been very wise on who you've hired in your business. And so, consequently, you have top-notch managers, just really sharp people. And under those managers, you have a great sales force that they're just... they're turning product over all the time in good ways. And so it's incredible. You have a very competent and diligent crew of mechanics. The mechanics are great. They do their job. And so things are going very well for you. And you're busy. You're thinking about new things and other ways that you can make money and sell tires and all this kind of a thing. But one day you get a call. You get a cell call, and you look at your cell phone, you see it's your daughter. Let's say you have a daughter, and you see that it's your daughter, and you answer this call, and you can hardly understand what she's saying. She's very upset. She's crying. She's very distraught. And basically, you understand that she says she's got multiple flat tires. Okay? She's got multiple flat tires, and you're thinking, now, how did that happen? Well, there was an accident, and, you know, some things happened, and you can't understand it all. But you know, she's got this problem, and she's crying, and she's very distraught about it. And the problem isn't too big for you. It's one that you can actually solve rather easily. You've got competent people. You've got the resources. You can send the people. You can send the resources. But you hear in her voice, she doesn't come out and say it, but you hear it in her voice, you need to go. You need to go out there. You need to... she needs your presence in that moment. So what do? Even though there's another expedient, you got lots going on, lots of things to do, and you know the whole business depends on you. What do? You decide to go. There's other solutions you could do, but no, you're going to go. So you go. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It'll be on the screen. It says, it's kind of teaching us as the church, in your relationship with others, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Verse 6, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He came for you. Jesus Christ came for you. He came for me. This is a very real thing in my life that Jesus Christ came for me. I can still remember when I first started to realize that this was true. I'd heard the gospel, the message about Christ coming, and I can remember back to when I first started to embrace it. I started to engage with it, that somebody cared about me. I lived in a very cold world. I had a lot of family issues and difficulties and challenges, lots of internal questions about myself and if I was ever going to be anything. A lot of questions and a lot of coldness in my life. But that notion that God cared about me, it warmed my soul. It warmed my soul. It spoke to me. And at one point, I decided to embrace the Lord. I decided to embrace Jesus Christ. And it changed my life. And I just want to pause here for just a moment. And I really want you to let that set in, that God cares for you. He cares for you no matter what you've done and where you've come from, the difficulties that you may have brought upon yourself or the environment that you lived in that's been difficult. He cares for you. And He came into the brokenness for you. He came into this dark world because you are highly valued. Just let that sink in. You're treasured to Him. You're not disposable. You're not something that God just, oh, throw it away and make another one. No. You're loved. And He wants you to experience His presence and be warmed if you will turn to Him. If you will just turn away from whatever's keeping you from Him and turn to Him. So why is the light of Jesus essential for life? He warms us. He gives us that indication that He cares. Now, before we move on to the second reason, let me ask you a question here. Have you ever heard the saying, people don't know, they don't want to know what you know until they know that you care? Have you ever heard that before? They don't care what you know unless they know that you care. You ever heard that before? That applies here. With Jesus, we know He cares. He cares for us. And so now, maybe we ought to welcome what He knows. Maybe we ought to open our hearts up to what He knows. That's the second reason. The light of Jesus shines so that we can see the truth. The light shines in the darkness, that the verse that I read a little bit earlier. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The world is not all right. There's good and evil. There's right and wrong in our world, you know. And the light and the darkness, it shows that. That's the application of that. The world is broken, and there are a lot of false narratives out there to sort of like explain why that is. But the light of Jesus exposes the deceit. And one that we get is that we get enlightenment from within. We're enlightened from within. And, you know, this is quickly said by listen to your hearts. We hear that all the time in our culture. Like, listen to your heart. Whatever your heart wants, that's what you should do. And Jesus, He shines a light into that. And no, that's not the way it should be. Mark 7, Jesus said this. He said, it's not the stuff in our environment that corrupts us. It's our hearts. He said this straightforwardly in Mark chapter 7. And what He was saying in that is that we cannot solely trust our feelings because each of us has a sin tendency. No matter who you are, whether you're a pastor or an elder or the Pope or someone else, we all have a sin tendency. We all are pulled into things that are wrong against God. And the light of Jesus shows us that. If we distrust our feelings, we have subjective truth, which is no truth at all. But the light of Jesus points out that there are universal truths. There's objective moral truth that we need And when we know that He cares about us, then we want to know what He knows because it can help us. See how important the light of Christ is? If the sun went out, you know, the sun in the sky went out, we'd be in complete darkness. Without the light of Christ, we're in complete darkness. Okay? So what do you do? What do you do when someone lights a fire in a fireplace? What do? You gather around. And you kind of step in and get closer. It feels good, doesn't it? That's what you do. So let me pray here. Let me close your eyes and let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank You that You came into this world for us, to bring us warmth, to bring us illumination, to bring us Your light. And now as we enjoy this program, God, please continue to open our hearts up to what You're saying to us in this time and in this space. And give us courage to trust You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.